Skywalker, Mark
Oh,
Hamill.
okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's pretty dorky.
Yeah, he is a
But
fucking dork, isn't he?
I think even Professor X has abs at this point.
I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the SideQuest podcast. This is Eric. We've got a very fun episode for you planned today. We're going to jump back to the 80s. We want to talk about all things 80s action movie stars, both men and women. But we feel like it was such a good time back then. The movies were awesome. The action stars were really coming to life. And so, gentlemen, welcome to the show. I want to talk about our first main quest, which is just... You know, I want to open up the discussion with, when I talk and tell you about 80s action movies, Justin, what are some of the first things that come to mind?
Jeez, 80s action movies, they kind of like really slayed the theater in the 80s with like just some of the, some real dynamic stuff, everything from like Rambo to, oh my gosh. Is Rocky count as an action movie? Maybe a little?
Yeah, I mean, it's action enough. Yeah, that's some good points right there. I mean, it's I feel like before the 80s, there were really no action heroes. There might have been some movies in the past, don't get me wrong, like, oh, some might consider Ben-Hur like a fucking action movie. Maybe, I don't know. But I feel like the 80s really helped define what is an action star. Jeff, what are some of those first thoughts?
I mean, of the action stars, I mean, it was dominated by Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, pretty much. You know, you could, I guess, Harrison Ford did quite a few as well during that time. I would say those are the two big ones.
Yeah.
It was also when some wrestlers started coming into their thing. I think wrestlers was more in the 90s, like Hulk Hogan and stuff, but I think there was a few in the 80s. I know Jesse Ventura.
Oh, God. So, fucking human, if we want to call him human.
I mean, he's a sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. When you start naming, like, Arnold and Sylvester were kind of the top two, like the two big bodybuilders that were kind of going neck and neck, and it was kind of like Team Arnold or Team Sylvester. But don't forget, there's also Van Damme and Mel Gibson, Bruce Willis, Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Seagal, Chuck Norris was still kind of big in the 80s, I'll say, or at least kind of
more 90s.
I mean, it's
when he really became into his thing.
Yeah, it's I mean, the laundry list goes on, and it's just one of those decades that I don't know if, you know, I think it was important for us to kind of take a moment to appreciate what that did, because I feel like without the 80s action heroes, that a lot of the movies that we have today in that action realm probably wouldn't exist. I don't know. Is that controversial, Justin?
No, I don't think it's controversial. I think it's accurate. The one thing that I will say is we did have some good movies in the 70s that sort of set up this over the top, another great Stallone movie. 80s sort of resurrection of the masculine man, which I don't think resonates with audiences the same way anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, it's just interesting. I always thought about this in kind of a, it's just like an odd, funny thing to think about. But in reality, all of the biggest action stars that we know have never really like landed a punch. And maybe, you know, like, don't take my word for it. Like, I'm sure Rocky, they were actually like clocking each other a little bit. But, like, it's just funny to think about that all these super buff, ripped up dudes with, like, machine guns and headbands, like, killing. I mean, what are the kill counts on some of these guys, right? Like, that they actually never hurt anybody. That was just them and stuntmen, and they never landed a punch or a kick. it's just such an odd thing. Like, I love the movie and entertainment industry, but it's like some of your biggest action stars, you think of like how badass and how big of a killer they are, but in reality, like, it's just, you know, them reading from a script and working with a stuntman and just to ruin the Hollywood magic. Sorry, boys. But just a thought I had, you know, I just think that, you know, when it comes down to the 80s, you know, what better types of movies were out there? I feel like they were very flooded and oversaturated with action movies. But, I mean, were there bad action movies in the 80s? Did we even see those? Jeff, I don't know what you're thinking.
I don't think anything that came out of the 80s was bad. Even if it was bad, it was bad and it was awesome at the same time. I mean, there was more serious. I mean, Blade Runner is kind of an action movie, but it's a very slow burn. It's not like Commando or some shit where he's just destroying an army by himself. You know, there's only a few deaths in Blade Runner, so I would say that there's some movies weren't all like just crazy Terminator type Predator stuff, Rambo, where it's just kill, kill, kill the whole time.
Right.
So there, and they could still be sci-fi, they could still be action movies, but just not as much. I think Blade Runner was very unique for its time as well. But I don't really think there's any bad 80s movies. I think because it was, you know, there's shitty movies, but they were just ridiculous and over the top. Just look at like 80s horror was just an awesome time. And a lot of it's campy and stupid, but we'll still watch it.
Yeah.
Because it had, I don't know what, the 80s just kind of went over the top sometimes. I have no idea what made them so. And it also, a lot of like campy, you know, movies came out during that time. Well, you don't really see much campy movies now.
Yeah, I think that if anything, they're in that kind of realm where they already know they're like a D-rated movie, so they just kind of go with it. But
yeah, but I think some of the movies in the 80s were actually not trying to be that.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's a lot cheaper to make movies now, and it's easy to make a B-movie now. Back then, when you had a studio back, it's not, you know, camera equipment, all that stuff was a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Even the film itself. So maybe because some of them are campy and they have this cult following was because they were trying to be a serious movie. It just didn't turn out that way.
Yeah. So let me list out some of these 80s action movies for all you youngins out there that might not have gone back through some of the collectibles, the retro movies out there. But let me just start listing some off and just to give you guys a little taste of what we're talking about here when it comes to 80s action. But something like Conan the Destroyer with Arnold. Indiana Jones. I mean, there's at least a couple of them filmed in the 80s. I believe the first one was technically 70s still, but the second two were definitely in the 80s. Rambo 2, Rambo 3, Running Man. You know, there's Octopussy, like, you know, James Bond movies coming out. Yeah. Hey, did you just laugh at pussy? Scarface, 1983. I mean, Cobra with George Michael Wham. I'm 99% sure. Blue Thunder, Roadhouse. I mean, Superman 2. Who the fuck wouldn't want to watch that? Lethal Weapon 2. Rambo, another Rambo. Escape from New York. Batman, the original. Aliens, Terminator. Red Dawn, Top Gun, RoboCop, Lethal Weapon, Big Trouble, Little China, Beverly Hills Cop, Predator, First Blood, Die Hard. Die Hard was 1988. So, you know, if you think about those 10 years, each of these guys had a pretty good fucking run. And they are like on top of the world. It's 80s. They're getting fucking rich as hell. And I mean, I guess the question I'm trying to ask next, just to segue into something, is Justin, I think we both agree on this, or maybe all three of us, but, you know, what makes these 80s action movies so iconic? You know, like, what makes us go back and rewatch or wait for that maybe 4K re-release? But what is it about them that just, like, made them so great for their time and place, no matter when you watched it?
I think that part of it is exactly what Jeff said earlier. When they're bad, they're still good. And yeah. that was by no means were they setting out to make a schlock movie. You know, you take there are a lot of bad movies that are out currently released straight to Netflix and to Hulu and even worse, like Tubi or some shit. But these movies, they understood what the audience wanted and they gave it to them. And they coupled it with good acting, good music, and the motherfucking one-liners. Bring me back some one. And Marvel tries to do the one-liners, but they don't land the same way as John Carpenter was able to just nail them down.
Yeah, very good point. I mean, you know, I think it's really just, it was a simpler time. It was just kind of black and white. You had a good guy, you had some bad kind of evil villain or evil corporation, and there wasn't a lot of extra bullshit. Like, they weren't sometimes trying to be like too sci-fi or futuristic. Yes, of course, Blade Runner, that's kind of in its own bucket. But I feel like it was just such a, you know, straightforward formula that everybody enjoyed. You know, it really was something where people could go to the theater to escape. And some of these stories were so outrageous that it just made it fun. You know, it was like, what else is there to do in the 80s? Like, you finally have like a home phone, and you have some neon shit on your walls and maybe a popcorn machine. I don't know, Jeff, popcorn. But outside of that, like, you go to the movies and you see these masterpieces, and little did they know when they were going to the theaters, like, you're seeing the birth of a franchise, you know, like Die Hard and Lethal Weapon and the Rambo movie, Escape from New York, like Batman, the original Batman from, you know, Tim Burton, like, you know, all these movies in the 80s that came out, like, I don't know if people even knew what they were watching in the moment. And now that's kind of like all we have, you know, all, you know, 30, 40 years later here. It's kind of just a continuation of what happened in the 80s. So, Jeff, I mean, I know you kind of touched on a little bit, but, you know, if you really had to kind of dig into that formula, is there anything nowadays that you've seen or watched that kind of compares to maybe the essence of what the 80s action movies really brought when you watched those for the first time?
I mean, yeah, we have that now with superhero movies, you know, Marvel and not DC, because they sure as hell can't get their shit together. But, you know, the 80s followed that formula of just blowing shit up, these one-man juggernauts that could just take on armies, which we saw in, you know, Commando and Rambo can, like, have a kill count of over 100 in one movie. But then they did a lot of the sci-fi elements to it too, which got really popular, with Blade Runner and Aliens and Terminator and Predator. They just shoot first, ask questions later type of decade. And it was awesome. And I was just, you know, Justin's going to kill me for this, but I never really saw RoboCop in its entirety. Like, I've seen, like, pieces of the movie, but I don't know why I never watched it fully. So I actually watched RoboCop 1 and 2. I know 3 is, like, shitty or something, so I didn't even touch that one. But I know the first two are what people watch and is what the main actors in it. So, yeah, I loved it because it was just, it's, again, it's just more of the 80s. You know, they'd shoot people and like 8 times and they'd still be standing there and there's just blood everywhere. It's just over the top craziness. You know, I wish I could put Total Recall in 1980s. It was 1990, but it also had that same feel to it. It's just over the top craziness. And, you know, Japan took a lot of this into account and the way we see anime now, like, you know, Dragon Ball Z and Naruto and all that, was these kikinomans, or however, I don't know how to say it, but in the 80s in Japan, all the manga was based off of, like, Stallone and Schwarzenegger, these super buff, you know, guys, and every manga and every anime episode of it was just them royally beating the shit out of their opponent. There was, like, no chance for them to win, and I think the 80s... But that's what a lot of these movies were. Like in Commando, there's, you know, he's going to win at the end.
Yeah, very there's, true.
You know, Rambo's going to win. You know, as it progressed, I mean, with Terminator, they took things to another level with, you didn't really know who was going to win. There's a little bit more stress on Aliens as well. You knew Sigourney Weaver was going to get out of it, but you didn't know if the rest of the Marines were and stuff. So they put some more tension where they weren't these overpowered super beings. But, you know, we're seeing that now with superhero movies. You know, they're not going to kill Peter Parker in the first three movies.
Yeah.
You know, they're always going to win at the end. So they did. Obviously, they didn't do it in Endgame, but, you know, they fixed that in the following movie. So, yeah, I think what we have now is just Superman superhero movies.
So I got to take us on a quick side quest. Open to the floor, of course. But if Arnold wasn't so fucking muscular, like he swam here from Germany and showed Austria. Up and said, I want to be in movies, Austria. Wherever. what do we think? Would the 80s action movies exist without muscular men? Like, what was that about? Why was that such the big thing? Was it a time in America? Was it a time in the industry where we needed it? I guess I'll toss that one to Justin first to see your thoughts on, like, what was up with the big muscular man and why did it work so fucking well?
Yeah, obviously people are always drawn to, like, that level of just badassery. I mean, people are still, I bring this up pretty much in the last few episodes, but you look at Cobra Kai and what they redid with Johnny Lawrence and the Karate Kid movie, where you have the classic American, you know, you've got this big, and obviously Arnold's not an American and he broke in the 70s, but he really made a name for himself in the 80s. But America just. Man is thirsty for that content. They just love the hell. And the accents, they don't give a shit about the accents. Look at Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, I love him and his movies, but man, I've got one of those old-timey things in my ear trying to listen when he talks. I'm like, I don't know what you just said. There's two of you.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. I it's just kind of interesting. Like, what if they went back and remade Rambo with, like, fucking Woody Allen? Like, it would just be a complete shit show. Like, you can't visualize those movies without a big ass buff dude. And I feel like,
okay, I'm gonna cut you off right there. The original Rambo doesn't count.
Very true.
I don't know when the last time you've watched that in terms of this conversation that we're having, but that is a very much nuanced, based on a novel, movie about ex-Vietnam soldiers coming back to America and less about just murdering motherfuckers.
Very true. Very true. So, good correction.
I hate to Dave Bennett you, but...
Oh, it's needed. Our listeners out there are doing the exact same thing. But if you think about it, too, like, who else could be Terminator? Not fucking Bill Cosby. Oh, we're canceled. But, like, it had to be a big-ass fucking macho man. Like, this is a superhuman being that people haven't really seen before, maybe like Andre the Giant or something, even though he wasn't like chiseled, but like it was just the time and place and it made sense. I don't know, Jeff, do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I kind of think sometimes people forget in the 80s, it wasn't just all big buff dude. I mean, Stallone and Schwarzenegger. Outside of that, I mean, you look at RoboCop, Peter Weller, he was not buff. Mel Gibson in Mad Max, he was not buff. I mean, would you consider what's his name in that? Or Kurt Russell, was he a big buff dude?
Well, not buff, but yeah, sexy. Or,
I mean, I would even say Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, was Eddie Murphy this Schwarzenegger guy? Was, you know, John McClane? He was just a cop. I mean,
was it Michael Clark Duncan?
Wasn't a huge. You know, then you get Sigourney Weaver. I mean, she wasn't like... And then Harrison Ford, was he huge at all either? Who, outside of Stallone and Schwarzenegger, who were the huge... I listed off more not huge guys than...
Oh, huge God. Guys. Well...
Dolph?
I mean, Van Damme, yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
Van
I mean,
Damme,
I think...
I mean...
Yeah, so, yeah, point made for sure, because we know, like, Stallone and Schwarzenegger, especially Schwarzenegger, like, they are in another stratosphere when it came to, like, their bodies. But the rest of them were definitely, like, chiseled enough. Like, Harrison Ford, you could tell, like, Bruce Willis worked out, and Kurt Russell, everybody, maybe they didn't have, like, a six-pack that you can, like, you know, rub your face on and, do a little motorboat in all three layers. But
Roger Moore, he was not... a big buff guy, and he played Bond.
Yeah, but I think that was the time and place, though. I think, like, you know, people in the 60s with Connery, or 70s, like, that was the thing. Just like kind of it came back in the 90s with Pierce Brosnan. Like, he wasn't a super buff dude. It was just more so like...
Bill Bond has been super buff.
Daniel Craig, have you seen him in that swimsuit, that little tights?
Yeah, but...
We're talking, like, bodybuilder.
No, that's what I mentioned. I said Arnold and Sylvester are in their own stratosphere, but the rest of them are still fit enough to be an action star.
Well, because if you even to Jeff's earlier point, when we're talking about comparing 80s movies to comic book movies now, the amount of training that Paul Rudd went through for the one scene where he took his shirt off for Ant-Man. I mean, let's be realistic. The three of us are never going to look like that.
No.
And there was a reason why they did that.
Paul Rudd only looked like that for about a few days.
Yeah, quick. Shoot it. We good?
Okay. He had to starve himself.
Yeah, and then he can, like, exhale and, like, you know, eat the rest of your dinner that you put away 3 days ago.
Ooh.
In the 300, they were talking about, Gerard Butler would talk about how people were passing out, going to the hospital, because you don't look like that constantly.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Very true. You just get it ready for the fight night, and then that's that. But I still feel like carrying into this day, was it always there? Help me remember. Maybe you guys think differently, but was this buff, big buff guy, like kind of Sylvester and Arnold big, has it always been there since the 80s with like The Rock now and John Cena and those guys? Or was there a little bit of a lull period that maybe I forgot about? I kind of feel like it's slowly carried, and now there's a little bit more of a excitement for the guys like The Rock. Like, he's just the poster guy just to get people to the movies. Is like, let's see what the big fucking buff guy can do. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think there's more buff actors now than there was in the 80s.
Just everybody's working out?
Well, I mean, you have The Rock, you have John Cena, you have a lot of these wrestler types, Dave Bautista, stuff like that. These guys are like huge. I mean, some of them, I don't know.
Yeah, but I agree with what you're saying, but I think that there's an interesting point to be made of the internet era when it comes to the boom that WWE, I hate calling it that, and AEW has had with their wrestlers just based on their Instagram posts alone. So now you have somebody like John Cena. I can't see him half the time anyways.
Oh.
And yet he's oh as God. Stiff as a board. he's as stiff as...
Jeff got that reference.
That was good. I gotta give that to Justin.
He's not a good actor, but you throw him in there as a sack of meat and he does a fine job, and I'm not bothered by it.
Dude, all right, but just to bring us up to current day really quick, Peacemaker is a funny fucking show. If you guys ever watched the latest Suicide Squad, he did a funny job in that, and his Peacemaker show is actually pretty funny. If he can be one thing, it's like a funny douchebag. He fits that role well. But, you know, I definitely see what you're saying, Jeff. Like, yeah, now people are just kind of, you know, some of the set standards nowadays are like, hey, Chris Hemsworth, 6'3", probably 280, all muscle. Like, that's what it takes to get in the movie business now. But there's also
if you play Tony Stark, you just...
True.
You don't have to be buff. You just got to be in, like, eat healthy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if any superheroes come to mind. Maybe another side quest. Any superheroes that weren't super buff? Maybe, like, dorky... nerdy, like McLovin style. I'm trying to think of some movies that come to mind where it was like action and not a comedy, and it was just like a normal guy like us. You know, maybe Jason Bourne, even though he's like a fucking, you know, even though he's probably, you know, he's a death machine.
Skywalker.
What was that?
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's pretty dorky.
Yeah, he is a fucking dork, isn't he?
I think even Professor X has abs at this point.
Does he use the like belt that vibrates, or does he actually like, you know, crunch?
He does both. Well, it's difficult because his legs are kind of like wibbly wobbly spaghetti. But
oh boy, oh yeah,
yep.
Now I'm hungry. but hey, I want to take us into our first segment. I love talking about the 80s action movies, but let's do it. Let's do a death battle real quick.
Get over here! Finish him! Flawless victory.
All right, here we go. This is going to be a twofer. I can't wait. The first death battle we've got here, of course, 80s action stars. First one is RoboCop versus the T-1000, which is, for those out there, the Terminator, the bad guy from Terminator 2. What do we think, guys? I mean, we've got...
talking Arnold's Terminator.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So RoboCop versus T-1000.
This could go two different ways, depending on which...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're talking about Terminator 2, T-1000. And I probably should go last because I know the T-1000, but RoboCop, I need to know what Justin says first.
T-1000 was Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
He was the goopy one.
Yeah, Terminator 2. That's what we're talking
about. So not Robert Patrick. We're talking about Arnold's Terminator. Which one are we talking about here?
Oh, I don't know. You guys pick.
Arnold's.
Oh, you're thinking Arnold, Jeff. Okay, let's do Arnold then. All right, so RoboCop versus Arnold. That is, boy, we just got spicy in here. Get your diapers ready. Justin, I want to start this one off with you because I know you are the RoboCop master, and I need a little bit of a lesson in terms of what he's capable of before I give my answer. So, Justin, throwing it over to you.
Cracks knuckles. Here we go. So I say all day long, RoboCop wins, and there's four reasons why I say RoboCop wins, and they're tangible reasons. One, the comic book series. Two, the video game, which you play RoboCop and you defeat all of Skynet. Three, there was a little known glitch on Microsoft Word in 2005 that it auto-capped RoboCop if you typed it into Word, meaning RoboCop was superior to Terminator. It didn't auto-cap Terminator. I'm dead serious. That was really a thing. It auto-capped RoboCop.
that would be the final nail in the coffin, huh?
That does it. But the fourth reason is humanity will always prevail over the robots. And if we talk for like a comparative sense, to compare it to what Neo and Trinity do in The Matrix to overcome all the obstacles in front of them, it's that same mindset where he's half RoboCop, he's half robot, he's half human. He can make decisions that the Terminator never can do. He can alter things on the fly. And I know I'm very curious to what Jeff will say, because RoboCop is very clunky in the original. He's very clunky. But one reimagined in the remake as to what the technology would actually look like, it's a beautiful monster that he is, of just mathematical calculations to be able to put everything perfectly where it needs to be with a human spin. So in 1987, he's shooting dude in the dick. In 2014, he's jumping over a fence with trajectory and mathematics. I love it. RoboCop all day.
Wow. All right. Very good points. Jeff, can you follow that up?
Yeah, so Justin lays out a lot of good points and stuff. And obviously, he's always going to be privy to RoboCop since it's one of his...
I'm jaded.
All-time favorite movie.
Very jaded.
But he has good points. You can't argue with who's stronger or not. So I think in like a one versus one fight, just no guns, whatever. I think the Terminator has an advantage. Arnold's Terminator has an advantage, just based off of having no like squashy bits or anything. So, and he's far more mobile.
Can we be more specific on squashy bits? Just so our listeners...
RoboCop has his brain in him. Has it. There are parts that can get damaged. Anytime he gets hit in the face in the movie, because I watched RoboCop, it tends to like really kind of fuck him up a bit.
Got it.
So in just like a fist fight, I'd have to give it to Arnold's. But if RoboCop could survive that first encounter somehow and escape, then... you know, he's got more tactical advantage, which Justin was talking about. and then that's where I think he would outwit Terminator. It's real tough because in Terminator 1, I think he RoboCop no issues defeating Arnold's Terminator. Terminator 2, Arnold is a little bit different story. He's a lot more durable, especially in the end scene where he basically takes out the whole police force in the building, and he still doesn't die from that. Where RoboCop did take on a police force in RoboCop 1, and they fucked him up pretty good. he did get away, though. So, I mean, this is a tough one. This is really good. I think just bare, you know, fist fighting, I'd give it to Terminator. And then if there's a little bit more prep time for RoboCop, would probably take it. Just because he is, you know, part human. He's a bit smarter with the calculations Justin was talking about. If it's a regular, just Terminator bot, then I think RoboCop would have no issues at all. And then if it was the T-1000, which I'm bringing in there, that I think is where RoboCop would have a lot more issues with.
Okay.
But yeah, this is a good fight.
Yeah, good points all around. So I'm going to keep it simple. I feel like when I pair these two together now, knowing a little bit more about RoboCop, I still feel like Arnold and the T-1000 is just going to persist and go through. Like, he is a killing machine. He doesn't have a human side to him. So he could care less if he goes over there and rips his fucking brain out. So I feel like even though he's getting shot up, at some point RoboCop needs to reload or needs to maybe grab another gun or... and Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, but is RoboCop very, like, mobile? Like, can that motherfucker sprint faster than Captain America, or is he just normal walking around?
In the original, he's normal walking around.
Okay. Okay, so that's the only other thing.
He is a tank, though. I mean, he...
Very true, but a tank compared to a bigger tank, which is Arnold running at you, you know, what, probably like 325 pounds, all muscle. Like, he is running through you like a mini Hulk. So I feel like if he's getting shot at, he doesn't give a fuck. He's a robot anyways. Who cares about that, the gooey flesh on his, you know, fake skin? I feel like Arnold's just going to power through it and somehow get to that brain and rip it straight out. Somehow. But, Jeff, you bring up good points about prep and all that. I throw that out the window. I'm just going with Arnold because I feel like the dude just can't be stopped. And the RoboCop would love to. And he's just like, wow, this motherfucker.
Like I said, if he can avoid that first charge of Arnold... then I think it shifts back in a RoboCop's favor. It's a lot of what happens right at the beginning.
Yeah, very good points. Very good points. Well, on to our second death battle. This is the first time we've done a twofer in a while. I mean, we did that whole long laundry list a while ago with our good cousin Dan, but let's go back and find out. We are looking at Rambo versus Commando. So another one for Arnold. Congrats to you, sir. But Rambo versus Commando. It's just straight up two basic humans that are super maxed out you know, have weapons, have that military training. They're both great at what they do. So, Jeff, I'm going to kind of go back around the table here. Rambo versus Commando. This, I feel like, is another tough one. Who do you got?
Yeah, so we got John Rambo versus John Matrix.
That's such a fucking dumb name. I love John Matrix, but it's like, come on. They just
well,
like...
and there was a fun rivalry between Stallone and Schwarzenegger. And there's a lot of like funny interviews with both of them on how they pretend to take each other's roles. I think there was one in particular. It was called like Grandma Cop or something.
No, yeah. No, stop or my mother will shoot.
Yeah. And who was in that? Did Stallone take it or did Schwarzenegger take it?
Stallone took it because Schwarzenegger said he wanted it.
But he only said he wanted it. So Stallone would take the shit.
Right, just to fuck with him.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's fun to see that they have a friendship. And still today, they do Instagram stuff back and forth, which is always fun. With when the new Rambo movie came out, he sent Arnold a signed whatever Rambo's knife is. And Schwarzenegger's like, this is beautiful, this is great, but it's not a knife. And then he pulls out this giant one. He's like, this is what I used in Predator. It's a little bit bigger than yours. But so it's real funny with them. This one is another tough one, because they're both durable and they're both, quick. They're pretty evenly matched. I would say that John Matrix is clearly, bigger than Rambo. He's bigger. I think he's stronger. He's heavier. So in terms of just raw punching power, if they were fist fighting, I'd have to give it to Commando. Commando also doesn't really, he doesn't aim much. I don't know if you notice in Commando, he just shoots and people just die. I don't know if the bullets magically move to their targets. But Rambo seems to be a little bit more calculated and actually has to kind of aim his weapons. And then I think what I pulled up is Commando killed, I think, 95 people in the movie, and Rambo killed 114. So, I mean, in the kill count, I think Rambo takes that.
He's not afraid of no ghost.
The thing that I think wins out for Commando is, again, wasn't Jesse Ventura in that movie as well?
God, I think he was.
In Commando, he was...
Somebody fact check. We got dead air.
I know.
Who gives a fuck? Like, John Matrix versus John Rambo.
Anyway, yeah, I think it is Jesse Ventura. So anyway, if you remember, they're down in like the pipe room or whatever, and Matrix actually impales him and lifts him in the air with a pipe, which was a super badass scene. I love that scene in the movie. So on just raw strength and power, if they're in a fist fight, I'd have to give it to John Matrix. If there was a lot of prep time, again, Rambo seems to plan things out more than John just running in there and just blowing shit up. But then again, it's a tough one, but I'm gonna go with John Matrix.
All right, Justin, what about you, sir?
I've got to throw a Frank wrench into the mix right now, because you're talking about knives. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Crocodile Dundee, Paul Hogan himself, got word that we were doing this death battle. Now he wants to be involved.
I like it. He is player three has entered the chat.
He is in the chat. We have Crocodile Dundee, who can just dismantle a gang member and a crocodile, Dundee, with he's just picking his tooth and just got a headlock onto this deadly beast. So I feel like Matrix is going to have a hard time with Crocodile Dundee. Jeff, you can jump in to throw some conversation in with this little side quest I threw in there. But I've got to say, at the end of the day, I think Rambo does have enough time and has enough traps and has enough fortitude to survive and win.
Okay. I like that one. I think if Crocodile Dundee is in there, I love him to bits and pieces, but I feel like those two would look at Crocodile Dundee and help kill him together first so that they could have an even match and feed him to his crocodile. But I feel like, Rambo, regardless of prep or not, I still feel like Rambo's going to win. I feel like he toe-to-toe, not just because he was also fucking Rocky, but I feel like in a fist fight, that Arnold's just too big of a guy. He's just going to get he's going to get slow after a while. Yes, he's a good bodybuilder, but I feel like Rambo just has the endurance and stamina to take him down. And eventually a knife comes out that was unexpected and slits his throat and he dies. I love Arnold, but again, when you think about Rambo versus Commando, like there's a reason there were 7 or 8 or 9 Rambos versus one Commando. And if there was a second one, then I don't know who the fuck saw it, but I'm going to go with Rambo through and through. I like it. Jeff, any rebuttals? Do you disagree?
No, you all have a fair point. It's a hard one. Some are going to lean toward Rambo. Some are going to lean toward Commando. They both are, crazy good fighters and stuff. And then you could also pair other Stallones to Schwarzenegger's and stuff. I think if you throw Schwarzenegger's Predator character Dutch in in the fight. I think he then definitely takes it. He fucking killed a predator with his bare hands, who has sci-fi tech. But then again, then there's Stallone in Demolition Man. I don't know. They both play similar characters in their movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a good
And they all fucking talk like in their own language.
So you should hear Arnold talk in, what was it?
Jingle Hercules. All the Way. Oh.
Hercules. Like one of his, it was his first role.
Hercules in New York.
Over him. It was so bad.
Oh my God, so bad. God, well,
we own that one on DVD, so we can watch that this weekend.
Ooh-wee.
Definitely watch that movie.
Must be my birthday.
So good.
A train, and when he fights the bear.
With the shoes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So good. So good. Well, thanks for joining me on the Death Battle, gentlemen. I want to take us into our next main quest. I thought of a fun one. We get to go back and rewrite some 80s action movie history. We have a lot of great movies that are silos, right? Like the Rambo franchise and, you know, Terminator and you name it, you fill in the blanks. But I want to know, which tag team would you like to see? Like if John Rambo joined Commando, would that be your top movie that you would want to see and green light? Or would you want RoboCop to be with, I don't know, Indiana Jones? Just curious, if you could combine any two action movie stars into one movie, some kind of cross contamination of one side or the other, what are some of the first movies that come to mind? Since I brought it up, I'll give you guys a little bit of extra time to answer. But I'm going to go with, I just love the concept and I gave myself my own idea.
Even Seagal.
So, oh God, fuck Steve. Oh my God. Oh, terrible, terrible. But honestly, I would love to see, and I just gave it away, but I would love to see RoboCop in Indiana Jones, where when Indiana Jones goes to discover something in the first temple, he discovers RoboCop. And then those two team up and like defeat the Nazis. And it's just like an amazing mix of old school adventure with the whip and like him swinging around, and then RoboCop's just like fucking shit up with rockets and guns and lasers. I feel like that could be a good crossover movie that could lead to, you know, many more spinoffs and, you know, D-level movies when Disney Plus gets a hold of it. But that's mine. Jeff, I want to toss this one over to you. What team up, tag team crossover do you want to see?
Yeah, I'd like to see in this is Dredd, Stallone's Dredd, and Arnold's Terminator together. I think those are the two most powerful incarnations of both of them. And just see them in some dystopian setting, just kind of laying down the law and fucking shit up. So Dredd, Stallone in Dredd, he has the most ridiculous way of talking. He really just ups the ante in that. But, you know, he can dish out some shit. So maybe them in like a Blade Runner setting would be interesting. I don't know how they would act with Schwarzenegger's Terminator, since he's not really a replicant or anything. But, they would just... they'd fuck shit up in any movie you put him in, any action movie.
Yeah.
Who wants to mess with a Terminator and a judge?
Not many people. That's for sure. All right, Justin, what about you? Where are you at? What crossover do you want to see?
So I've got an interesting take on this, and bear with me because it's been half done, but not fully realize the way that I think, and I'm going to take us back to Karate Kid again, because John Kreese from Karate Kid is a Vietnam veteran, meaning he fought alongside John Rambo. Oh. So I want to see a movie about these two and Terry Silver in Vietnam, and they're too damn strong for the Vietnam, and they're just destroying shit like Rambo style, and it's like, get over here. That's what I want to see.
They just take down the whole, you know, the whole country, just them two.
The war is over, like, and they then it ends with them, the president, whoever was president, I'm bad with civics, but giving them medals of honor, and then like the bevy of prostitutes come out for like that happened in the 80s, and they're like, ah.
I feel like you've thought about this before.
Oh, yeah. No, I started a screenplay called Too Damn Strong for the Viet Cong.
Oh, my God. That needs to be on a shirt, too.
Yes, it does. So, love no, that. I started it, and it's based solely and primarily upon that concept, which they Cobra Kai touched on a little bit if you watch the TV show, to get a little bit into Kreese's and Terry Silver's background in war, but to throw John Rambo into the mix just elevates it to new levels.
Love that. I feel like there's got Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
I had a bit of a side
yeah.
quest.
Yeah.
I was thinking of other action heroes in different movies. Gonna bring out a great horror movie. The Thing.
Ooh.
You guys remember that movie with Kurt Russell?
Oh yeah.
How would it be any different if you threw Ripley into the mix after having dealt with xenomorphs?
Ooh, that would be like the perfect end credit scene to that movie, like a crossover right there. But I feel like the movie would probably end a lot sooner if she was in it.
It's a great horror movie.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons, especially this, them not. I mean, it's also one of those horror movies. I know we talked about this, where people don't do dumb things. They are all making the best decisions they can. But it's a shitty situation what they're in.
Yeah.
Just a good shout out to The Thing. Just great 80s, yeah. Great practical effects. Great. You know, the 80s also, I'm side questing again here. The 80s also did a good job with practical effects. You know, there wasn't this stupid, CGI everything where it just looks terrible. They used a lot of puppeteering, they did it in RoboCop, they did it in Total Recall, they've done it in, you know, the Alien, at least Alien and Aliens. The Thing, it was all practical effects. They don't do that more. And I think that's also what gave 80s sci-fi their distinct look. I mean, I know they redid RoboCop or they updated or whatever, but I mean, Justin, if you had the chance, you only get to watch one or the other. Which one are you watching?
It's the original.
Yeah.
Well, also to their credit too, like computers were shit, dog shit. And it probably took 3 years to render a CGI scene like the Terminator.
Well, and to Jeff's point too, like you take RoboCop and the amount of claymation that they did in that.
Oh yeah.
Like they were just thinking in terms of what they can do to accomplish the tasks that they needed to do, and it worked.
And
when you first saw the big robot thing in RoboCop, what was that thing?
Ed 209.
Ed 209. That's a great scene. Claudia, shout out to Claudia. She loves that scene. She talks about it where
and also
it just shoots the guy.
I think it would be cool for our listeners and maybe even ourselves to go back and look for scenes where you don't even know that it's like miniatures, right? Like they were huge on miniatures where they would like create a whole scene, whether it's car chase or ship blown up.
Lucas.
Yeah.
Lucas was, I mean, Star Wars still looks good to this day. And that the first one was made in the 70s because everything he used, he changed the technology behind it. And then if you look at the sci-fi movies that came right after Star Wars, they fucking suck.
Yeah, even because like even the credit scroll in Star Wars was like done practically.
Well, yeah, they changed. Yeah, they invented a lot of stuff that they used thereafter. You know, there's a lot of movies that did that. Matrix did it, even though the newest one isn't Eric's favorite. But the original Matrix, you know, invented the 180 camera thing that they use in movies all the time now.
Yeah, very
good.
You know,
there are those movies that do something that then changes thing. Jurassic Park, first time they use CGI, because Spielberg was going to use claymation. Could you imagine Jurassic Park looking like that robot in RoboCop?
Ugh.
I mean, it would totally change the movie.
Yeah. Well, to bring it back full circle, one movie that I watched recently without realizing that a lot of it was practical instead of CGI was the newest Mad Max with Tom Hardy, where like 98% of that movie was shot practical, you know, aside for like the giant, like, you know, caverns and scenes and shit where they're like, you know, obviously some of that shit's fake, but like all the stunts that they were doing driving, like none of it was bullshit. They did it all for real. And it was insane to watch. I watched like some half an hour behind the scenes making up after the movie. Cause I'm like, oh fuck, this is actually really cool. And I feel like bringing it back to the side quest of the side quest of the main quest is I feel like there's a good team up with Mad Max. Like, who would actually be a good partner with Mad Max to join his movie? You know, like, they're on the run, it's through the desert, and they're just fucking shit up. Like, who is his teammate to make shit that much more awesome?
I have no idea.
Eddie Murphy? Beverly Hills Cop?
Eddie Murphy, Foley. That would be great. Yeah, but Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy in Mad Max.
Or Donald Glover.
Michael Keaton. I was going to say Michael Keaton's Batman. Throw him in the mix and you've got an unstoppable duo.
Oh my God. Is he wearing the suit the whole time? Or is he Bruce
Wayne?
Oh,
yeah. Oh,
of course.
No, he's sweating balls. His underwear are drenched.
Oh, he can't even turn his neck without it hurting. Just like he's got to stare straight forward. Oh my God.
With his eye black.
Be so bad, so bad. All right, boys. Well, let's hop into our next segment of the evening.
Let's go.
All right, boys. Keeping with the theme, we want to go back to February 20th, 1987. If you were around back then and of age and had a lover, ooh. I'm guessing you two were playing this game. It was 1987's Contra, the original duo, the original co-op game that really, I think, brought a lot of people to the systems, to the NES systems, to the arcade, was this side-scrolling shooter that just, if you think back to it, I really remember just getting super pissed off because I would get my ass kicked on like the first and second level, whether I was in the arcade. And it was all about who you're playing with. Typically, the person would just like not follow directions or follow where you're going, or they'd be down in the water when you're trying to be up top. But this game was not easy. And so, Jeff, what are some of your first memories, recollection of the good old Contra?
Oh, yeah, I love Contra, even though it was super fucking frustrating. But Contra was one of those, you know, I've talked about this in the past, one of those defining games that changes a genre like Zelda did, Mario, all that. You know, Contra was that side-scroller shooter that just got it right on every level. Most of my Contra loving didn't come from the NES version. Because, again, I was a little too young for the NES stuff until I was older, and then I dicked around with the old systems. But it was at, and Eric, you'll remember this, Coach Light, where we used to go skating in, like, grade school. They had the arcade version of Contra. And I remember you and I would play the shit out of that thing. And our friends and stuff, that was like, man, I remember just needing more quarters. And everyone's so excited to go like skating, like rollerblading and stuff like that. And I'm like, I can't wait to play the Contra.
Contra's arcade. There still, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was just a great game to play with a friend. And it just, at first, it started like some 80s action hero. You know, I think the cover looks like Schwarzenegger or Stallone on it. And you're running around. And then it just turns into aliens.
It goes from killing
armies to killing xenomorphs. And even, I think the drawings was the guy who did the drawings for the original xenomorph, did some of the artwork on Contra. I can't remember fully, but when you start getting in towards the end of Contra, it just turns into aliens. It's just such a, I mean, it's like a game that brought in the 80s into the game with being these buff dudes who kind of look like Stallone and Schwarzenegger. And then all of a sudden you're in one of the most, you know, successful sci-fi horror movies ever made, Aliens, with these xenomorph looking things. It was tough, but I remember the power-ups. You can get the gun to shoot, you know, missiles or spread shots. You get different grenades. It also did that thing where you would lay down and then you'd face the screen more in a POV shot. I don't know if you remember that. They would lay down and you'd have to walk through the hallways.
Oh, yeah.
So they took a lot of chances with it. And yeah, I mean, it's you know, one of the all-time greatest games.
So good. Justin, what about you, sir?
Jeez, that was quite the ramble. And I can't disagree with anything that was just said. I probably didn't get into Contra to like 1991, 92, somewhere in there. So a little bit, you know, a few hairs on my chest by the time that I started playing it. But I honestly, I hated Contra because it was so damn hard. I couldn't make it past level one or two. Like, it was just, and obviously you can do the cheat code, but I don't know. I was just, I've never beat it. And that's like a splinter on my finger where I'm just like, I need to remedy this at one point in my life. And I just haven't been able to do it. But I think the big thing that I love what Jeff said is the way that it set up these side-scrolling shooters. Everything from the RoboCop video game to the Judge Dredd video game are based on what we see and accomplish in Contra. And it's for that, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Way too difficult.
I'm with you on all those points. You know, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA. Start, that's like the original, the first, I'm going to claim the first cheat code ever. I mean, I don't think there is any other older cheat code than that bad boy, to my knowledge. And that's probably one of the most famous ones, too. And you know, congrats to that development team for, like, coming up with, what? You're going to give them, what, a cheat code? And they do this sequence, and all of a sudden it's going to give them 30 extra lives? Like, you know, hats off to those guys. And
real quick side quest. I was just, because you ignited like a cheat code fest in my head.
Oh yeah.
What other cheat codes do you guys remember? Or do you remember any that you can easily spout off of?
Okay. Yes. My favorites of all time are two separate games. One is GoldenEye, when you unlocked, because that made the game so replayable, is that the more you did it on higher difficulties and you beat levels and under a certain amount of times or less deaths or whatever it was, you unlocked all those cheat codes and like DK mode and half those fucking like paintball mode, like all those Bond cheat codes were phenomenal. And second is GTA 3. I feel like that had a huge laundry list of cheat codes. And two of my favorites were like all the cars disappear. They're all invisible. So people just look like they're floating. It was the dumbest, stupidest looking thing, but it's so hilarious. And the second one was like the tank code. You get the tank and then the flying cars so that you spin the barrel around and you shoot it behind you. And then the tank starts taking flight. It was so fucking fun. So those are my two. I'm so excited now.
Good. Jeff, do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, cheat codes were fucking awesome because you do crazy stuff. I'll mimic Eric with GoldenEye had some of the best cheat codes, the big heads, the, you know, every gun is golden gun. Like, they just had so many ridiculous cheat codes. I remember the Game Genie, which was awesome. You just plug this giant thing into the system, then plug the game into the giant thing, then use the little book to type in the codes. Sometimes it break the game. I think I remember my older brother doing Super Mario Brothers, and he made it where you were the frog the whole time. So it made it easy up until a certain point where you couldn't progress because you were stuck as a frog and you needed to shoot fireballs. So those, you know, those ones are fun. And then the only one that I remember how to do is NBA... was it NBA Jam?
Ooh.
Where the arcade version, where we had it at, where we used to swim at. It was a place called Glen Eyre. We used to do swim team and stuff. I think my mom used to make Eric swim if he ever spent the night. I think she did that with every like niece or nephew or cousin.
That was the toll.
Spent the night, and then we had a swim meet. They were forced to swim. But going to Glen Eyre, we used to go a lot. And Eric, I know you came with us quite a few times. And they had the back room with the arcade. And they had NBA Jam. And if you needed two people to hold all the buttons down and then push forward on both joysticks. And a lot of the challenge was trying to do this yourself with your leg and your hands. And if you did, it like turned into this like little Tron mini game that would pop up. And you could shoot, like, it looked like Tron. And that was one that I remember, like, how to do and just remember. I had a lot of good memories with that and then the game room and swimming and all that. So.
So good.
You know, cheat codes have good memories attached to them.
What about you, Justin? What are some of your faves?
There's two that come to mind. first is, I think it was level select for the first Sonic game, up, down, left, right, right, left, down, up, select.
Ooh.
And then the second was blood mode for Mortal Kombat, A, B, A, C, A, B, B, A.
So it gets extra dirty.
You needed to play with blood mode on. You needed to see Kano rip out a red circle, not just a gray one.
Yeah. Man, it's not too many games nowadays have it, or if they do, I don't know. I don't know why I feel like this. I feel like people just like shit on it. Like, it was fun to use cheat codes back in the day. Like, nobody gave you shit for it. Like, you know, if you're trying to play in a competition, yeah, don't, obviously you can't use cheat codes, but it's like, that was like the, what made games so much more exciting and something you could replay. Like, fucking playing GoldenEye, like, normally was fun. But then all of a sudden you unlock like five different cheats, and then you get to go back through the whole game again with like DK mode, paintball mode, whatever, you know, you name the list. Like it just made it that much more exciting. Like explosions are 10 times more powerful. And I feel like games kind of went away from that, and it's a little bit sad. I know a lot of games now are more so like the, you know, multiplayer online competition, but fuck, man, every single game that's made should come with some fun, should come with some cheat codes. Please bring it all back. I don't know. Do you guys know of any recent games that really like went out of their way to like make sure people knew about cheat codes? Or, I mean, like Halo doesn't have fucking cheat codes, right?
No, now it's just glitches. And hope to God you can find a way to...
Glitches and Easter eggs.
Yeah, which is kind of annoying that games now just don't have cheat codes. For some people who might be stuck on a level, they can't get past it, then it's pretty much game over. Or just, you know, fun of it. Who cares if it's a single-player game? If you put in cheat codes, it's how you want to play the game. Especially if you beat it. Like GTA never used the cheat codes until after I beat it, and then it was fun
right.
just to pop them on and... you know, dick around with it and see all the fun stuff you can do. It's kind of a shame they've taken those out, you know, more recently. Because it also just made for fun stuff you could put in the game. You're like, who cares? Like, you make all the heads giant. It's stupid. It's funny.
Yeah. Very good point. Very good point. Well, good side quest, gentlemen. I want to finish it off with one final main quest of the evening. Or daytime, or morning time, or, I don't know, taking a shit time, whatever you're doing right now. Gentlemen, let's go around the table. If you had to name your number one 80s action movie that you recommend everybody has to go out and watch this weekend, what would it be? Justin, we'll start with you.
No comment, no discussion, Big Trouble in Little China. Go.
Okay, Jeff, what about you? Are you thinking about it?
Yeah, it's shocking that he said that.
Well, once I said no comment, discussion.
Yeah, he said shut the fuck up and answer.
Okay.
So what's yours? What's your number one?
That would be Predator.
Ooh, all right. And I'm gonna lead us into the weekend here with the right answer, which is Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
It's a fun one, okay? It's the best. So everybody out there, we want to hear from you. Let us know what you think about all the fun 80s action movies that we talked about today. Did we miss any? Did we not talk about Jackie Chan enough? Because I didn't mention him once. He was out there too, but you know what? We're talking about some of those big hunkin' action heroes, and we want to hear what are some of your favorites. All right, Jeff? who could bench the most? But let us know. Hit us up at SideQuestPod. We're out there, and at some point, in 2022, Jeff's going to be updating all the YouTube videos for you to go out and watch. So have fun with that. Everybody enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much for joining. And gentlemen, 80s action noises, how we finishing this bad boy off.
Man, I think we all have to be an 80s action star. Eric, if you want
to. All right, I'll be Arnold.
And Justin wants to be RoboCop.
How about?
And then we can all just, and then we can even morph them into what RoboCop would sound like as Arnold.
Oh boy.
And just make it as ridiculous as possible.
Let's have some fun with this. Eric, knock it off. Start it up.
Let's have a conversation like they're all fighting each other and talking to each other.
Hey,
creep.
What the fuck are you doing? Owls.
Hey, Adrian.
Owls. You get the fuck back over here. You sit down.
Shoots both in penis.
Luke, I am your father.
Dad.